Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Welcome to the RAND CRE Show, commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Taravello, with the man, the myth, the legend, Will Coleman. Will, how are you today?
Howdy, Mike. Just running the marathon one step at a time and looking forward to learning from our guest today, Maurice Philogene, better known as Mo the Global Citizen. I may steal that from you. I like that a lot.
Well, you don't leave Texas or Tennessee, so you can't really be a global citizen.
I'm working on it. We're designing it. It's the lifestyle design, right?
There you go.
So Mo is a senior executive, real estate investor, restaurant owner, explorer of 96 countries. That's where the global citizen comes in. Public servant. He's been a federal agent, a police officer, and a philanthropist. His passion is serving clients in the consulting space and helping hardworking professionals achieve the five freedoms: financial freedom via passive income, freedom of time, geographic freedom, freedom of relationships and purpose, all through multifamily investing and lifestyle design. Maurice has been investing in real estate for 17 years, so I'm very excited to hear from his experience and has done over 300 transactions. Mo, how's it going?
Going pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Like we said before, living the dream. It's a good dream. It's a good dream.
My man, nice to be here, you guys. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So I think just, you know, with your background and just your pedigree, what's like the one thing that you're really excited working on right now? Because I know a big passion of yours is creating. So what's the one thing you're working on creating now?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And where Mike's comment comes in on the creating part is, I've gotten over where I am in my professional and personal life. I've gotten over the competing with peers on stuff. I think it's stupid. Frankly, I think it's bullshit, to be honest. We were all taught in school, valedictorian, get the A, go to the AP classes. I get all that. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, especially if it's a self-developed trait or what have you. But this notion that I have to compete with you guys because you guys are in the multifamily space is crazy. So what is exciting me now from a creation standpoint? I think it's Quattro Capital for me right now. So I've been in real estate, like you mentioned, for almost two decades, and a majority of it, except for the last year, I did it on my own. And that was a very long and tumultuous and lonely path to be going after so many entrepreneurial endeavors, whether it was restaurants or real estate, ups and downs, on your own, trying to figure things out, sometimes with a mentor, but usually with a book or library or a podcast as your mentor. But now I have Quattro Capital with four partners, Aaron Hudson, Chad Sutton, Tammy Sutton, and Kim Wendland. And we make up Quattro Capital, and we've been formally together for about a year. We've closed on five complexes. We're closing on another one today, like you and I, like us three were talking about. And we have a 110-unit, $9 million deal going on right now in the Atlanta market. And I'm super happy about that because not only do we get to do something for ourselves, but we'll have, you know, anywhere between 20 and 40 investors who, by taking part in that particular opportunity, I will help them with those freedoms that you talked about, financial freedom, time freedom, geographic freedom. Like, I absolutely love helping people figure out where they're going, and multifamily is a way to give people a tool to do that. It's not my life. It's a component that makes my life better. So that is the thing that I'm excited about right now, creating through doing bigger deals.
So I've got a question for you that kind of starts with the first thing you said on getting over the concept of competing with people. Mm-hmm. And I'm proposing this, I'm curious the way you'll answer this, of if you have not succeeded yet, if you're still kind of in that phase where you're struggling to reach financial freedom, or you have not, you're not meeting the income goals that you feel comfortable with, how do you then feel okay with not having to compete with somebody?
I think competition, when it's healthy, is a good thing. I think competition for the sake of competition, as if that's what we were put on this earth to do, is a bad thing. Okay, so if you haven't quote unquote gotten there, by the way, there is no there, because once I got there, then there was this other thing we had to do. Like, it's this constant freaking journey that you just keep going and going. But whatever your goal is, whether it's, and that's the thing, right? I don't think people, what people really want in theory is the lives that they think millionaires and billionaires live. But you don't need a ton of money to do it. You need a certain amount of passive income. You need geographic freedom. You need time freedom. And then you can go do whatever the F it is that you want to do. In a sense, that's why digital nomads feel freer than we typically do, you know, in the office environment or what have you. But if someone's trying to get there, the competition is not with a peer who's sitting next to you. The competition is you can link with that person and do much more, further, faster. Drop your effing ego. I'm an A type.
There are none in real estate.
No, it's all egos in real estate. It's all egos in real estate. But I have always been an A-type personality because of military life, because I grew up the way that I grew up in inner city Boston, and then my parents got smart and moved me out to the burbs. The consummate overachiever. I did great in real estate on my own. I really did, and got to a certain level. And then once I hooked up with my four partners, then we've achieved all this stuff in 1 year that crushes the career that I had on my own. Okay, so in answer to your question, Will, it's like, drop your ego, ask for help. There are people who are better than you at certain skills. Like, I'm better on the investor relations side now and spending time with good people like you guys than I am on the tip of the spear due diligence out in the field, because I've been doing it so long, I just can't see the forest for the trees anymore, right? But my partner, Chad, he's ridiculous at it, right? So that's my answer, is drop your ego. I understand we all have goals to get to, but the goal is not to go on LinkedIn, find someone who has 5,000 units under management on their profile and feel like you have to be like them. That's not what you have to do. Find what makes sense for you and go after that.
Yeah, the dropping your ego is a huge piece of it. And I think once you realize that the people that are better than you can open doors for you,
yeah,
and can lead to opportunities that you would have not been able to see beforehand, it changes your perspective of, I don't want to compete with that person. I want to help that person.
So yeah, they yeah, 100%.
Which I think in real estate, because I've, you know, working with startups and stuff, they're always trying to get the higher raise and be better than that. And but in real estate, it's such a refreshing field of, yeah, we're all quote competitors, but it's just like, I want, like, I was texting Chad before the podcast, and Chad's called me for help, and it's just like, we're all here to help because we all want it. Like, there's enough deals where we all can eat. So it's just, I want to help, you know, your group and like vice versa, just to survive, because when one person wins, we all win, because that just gets more people aware of what we're doing and how we can get the freedoms and the passive income. So seeing that in real estate has been truly remarkable, because with the tech startups and even, like you said, the type A, like, I was an auditor for Ernst & Young, and it was, you got to get the five, the highest score, the highest rating. And it's like, and I'm like, for what? And then you can do 100 hours of work instead of 80. Like, it's exactly. So it is a refreshing piece. And I mean, it's, I'm sure too, with your, you know, the years of doing it and doing it well by yourself, that pivot to we, not me, has been, I'm sure it's been a relief, because you're doing more to collectively than individually. So I'm sure you has opened up some time freedoms as well.
It has, but it's not so much that I'm trying to create this gigantic infrastructure or something like that, or massive real estate business to put my name on the side of, no, I'm not doing any of that stuff. Actually, by partnering with my four partners now at Quattro Capital, it fits into how I'm designing my life. Everything that I do is from a virtual perspective. Everything that I do, I implement systems and processes and technology. Chad helps a ton with the technology for Quattro Capital, because my life. Real estate supports my life. Real estate is not my life, if that makes sense. My life is taking care of my two boys. My life is traveling to different countries around the world. My life is hanging out with good people. My life is preparing to go to Greenland with my seven-year-old at the beginning of next year. So anything that gets in the way of doing those things that make me happy, I won't do them. But the way that I've structured now, like the loss of ego, the recognizing that my partners have stronger skills or complementary skills as me, allows me to go live life extremely well. And at the same time, we are helping tons of investors meet their goals. And, you know, that is just a good thing. We get to help people.
And what systems do you use? Are there certain technologies that you use that help you kind of get systems in place that allow you to take those trips and you know, work virtually and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, and business and personal life for me have started to merge a little bit because I use systems for both of them that overlap, right? So I use Earth Class Mail to digitize all my mail. I don't receive mail anywhere. All of our properties have their own PO boxes or street address where mail shows up, gets scanned. If it's a check, it gets forwarded to the bank automatically, those types of things. To manage investors on the multifamily side, we use Syndication Pro, which is a tool to manage the documents, the communications, the accreditation statuses, and things of that nature. Chad Sutton really convinced us, at least for Quattro, we set up infrastructure leveraging Google's infrastructure. So we're all on the same back end. We all use automated tools. The Mac that I'm on with you guys right now and this cell phone, I can manage probably 18 properties between that laptop and this phone. I use, what is it called? Slack. I'm using Slack right now across a couple of our mobile home communities, so mobile home parks, because they are very management intensive, but we don't have large scale management companies like we do on the apartment side. So I have an on-site property manager. So all the, you know, days of our lives, general hospital chatter that's going on is all in Slack. I only look at it once a week, right? So just a myriad of different tools you can use to get light and automated. By nature, I am a minimalist. I don't buy a lot of things. I don't want a lot of things in my house. I don't want to see paper. I'll use notarize.com now. That's a new tool that came online for us. So I don't have to go to a notary anymore. I just pay for an online notary since we got to do closing documents, as you guys know. There are so many tools you can get to make things better. And then the one last thing I'll add is virtual assistants are a big deal. I have used them in the past quite a bit. I'm not right now, but I am. I just started working with someone on personal social media stuff, and she's out of the UK. So whether it's people or tools or things, I'm a minimalist from a business perspective and personal perspective where I just don't buy a lot of stuff because that takes money out of my pocket. But I need at a moment's notice to be able to like, all right, I'm taking this phone, I'm closing this laptop, I'm going to get my carry-on bag, and I'm going to go to Turkey for the weekend. Like I need that in my life. So the tools matter for me.
That's truly inspirational because a lot of people, they focus on getting the job done rather than thinking about how can I get it done, but then also have freedom.
That's right.
And I think I'm a huge culprit of that myself is like, I don't care how it gets done. I'll do whatever it takes to get it done. And then I'll realize that I have this discombobulated system that I have to redo.
Yeah.
I think Mike is very good at this of, he's like, all right, how can we do this and then never have to do this again?
Yeah.
I'd say, Mo, when you were doing your whole, like the systems, I was just getting juiced up because literally I hired in the last week, two VAs, one to do like my personal accounting, one to do some research. I've learned that skill to work with like at Ernst & Young, but all the others. And I think too, it's great is that you not only had the systems, but you have the principles around it. Cause I think Cal Newport, like the digital minimalism, you can check Slack every single day. And that doesn't really add value into your life to know every message. You're like, hey, I'll breeze through once a week and it's good. And setting up those parameters is just a huge piece. Cause you could just micromanage, but that doesn't help the larger machine run by you just chiming in.
No. And you know what, brother? It gets into the five freedoms that Will articulated at the beginning. And one of those was freedom of time. I take it so seriously. But that includes digital time. Like you said, I don't know the person you just mentioned. What was the name you just mentioned?
Cal Newport.
Cal Newport. I'll look into that after. But this digital stuff that we do, like, it can consume you. So I've turned off all the notifications. I finally got smart and put on, if you go into your iPhone, there's a sleep cycle where your phone will automatically shut off. So my phone shuts off, not the phone itself, but my apps will disappear at night. So I won't, the only apps that I'll see at night are Spotify. I do check my calendar for the next day. The actual phone and text will still come through, but you won't see Instagram, Facebook, Slack, email, none of that stuff. Like, we have to get into this habit of delineating between, actually, and I'll take one step back, but delineating between work and personal life. And the reason I say that, man, is look, I'm mid 40s now. There is no one can ever come to me and say that they worked harder, because I still hold 3 full-time jobs. I still do some investment stuff, but I'm still finding 8 hours of sleep in general. Like last night, I didn't sleep, and there's a reason for it. But if we don't allow our bodies, I'm not kidding, man. If you don't allow your bodies to like heal and get away from this digital stuff or eat good food and all that, when you get up into what I think is about 10 years away from me, it's going to affect you big time. And I'm starting to see it, which is why I'm starting to be vigilant where health and sleep and time freedom are a client of mine, just like an investor might be for something else.
Are you listening to this, Mike?
I say, I just resonate with all of it, because literally I took pride in never sleeping. And literally, like, when I first started in multifamily trying to do it myself, I averaged probably 4 to 5 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And just do the 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift of just trying to learn and grow and just do it all myself. And I just realized, like, this is insane. And literally the next, after like a conference, I slept 42 hours in 3 days. So and that's where it's just good. It's refreshing to hear, because I think a lot of listeners are, I don't have this, or I'm not where I want to be. And it all goes back to just, I think, the process and falling in love with it.
Yeah.
Mo, I have two apps for you. I know it's two, but Instacart, so you get your groceries delivered, and then there's this app I got called Meal Line, and what it does is it takes the recipe, and what it does is it puts all the ingredients in your cart, and then that cart transfers to your Instacart.
Oh, my man!
So once I found that, I'm like, I told my girlfriend, I'm never grocery shopping ever again. And now I have all the recipes. It's like, boom, and it's done. And they're not like you need 300 ingredients. It's like a reasonable amount. So, and that's it's on your health. Love. So
that's awesome.
So
Mike is always looking for a way to never have to do that again.
Cause like it's the principle, like Ray Dalio, of I control the machine. I'm not the cog. So last week I told Will, I'm like, I did it once and I never want to do it again.
That's it. That's a good way to think about things. And listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with grinding. I did it. And in the past 36 hours, I finally got sleep last night. But go back to the five freedoms, because that's kind of how I live my life now, that freedom of purpose. So I'm still a street cop in D.C., not because I have to be, but because I want to be. That allows me to give back to my local community in a meaningful way. I don't have my federal agent stuff from the military anymore. So it's hard. I've lost that outlet. But since I'm still a local street cop and I go out at 8:30 at night and I patrol till 6:30 in the morning, it's my mechanism by which I help people. But that was on Monday night. So on Monday morning when I got in, my calls with investors started at 8:30. So I had about an hour to have downtime. Went all day, and then we had the webinar. We had that webinar on the 110 unit starting at 7 p.m. And I was mixing in my normal consulting job during the day. So I never slept. And then I finally got a solid night of sleep last night. And then I was with my physical trainer this morning at 6 a.m. There are periods where you're going to have those issues. I get that. but it better be for a reason, right? Like, that's a good reason. If I want to go out and help community, that's a good reason. If I'm doing investor calls, and investor calls are never investors to me. These are people whose lives I'm trying to improve, help improve. Like, that's a good reason. And even on the consulting W-2 stuff, my customer is an agency. I won't say who the agency is, but they help public lands in the U.S. And that affects citizens' mental health right now with all this COVID stuff, right? Like, that's a good reason. I will do things like that for good reasons, but all the other stuff where you're just grinding for grinding's sake or brown timing it on social media or binge watching for 7 hours on Netflix, that stuff will just, it just takes time away from you.
It's that purpose piece. And I think a lot of people, especially this year, is kind of like, what am I doing with my life moment? And yeah. It's having that clear delineated purpose of moving forward of what do I want in life? Because we're so programmed. Even my friend who was just came back from Sweden for 3 years was literally like, people don't talk about work all the time. And then you come back to America and it's just like,
work.
I did this at work. Man, I hate work. I love work. And it's just like, well, yeah, but what about what else? So it's a refreshing mindset.
Yeah. And that's why I spend a lot of time overseas, to be honest. I started traveling when I was 15. It was a beautiful thing what happened when I was 15. I traveled around France for 30 days. Anyways, inner city street kid from Boston, immigrant kid with roots in Haiti. And I just learned that the world was a lot bigger than Boston. And what has happened since is all those travels, those 96 countries, and it's been like 250 times now. It's not because I'm trying to tack some number on a wall. It's because you learn, your brain is back to that like beginner's mind where you're constantly learning new things and stuff. But the biggest thing it gives you is empathy, the way that you were talking about on how other people think. And no, the first thing out of people's mouths in general when you're in somewhere else is not, what do you do for a living? Here, for some reason, it's what do you do for a living? And we're very much in the mantra of we live to work versus the work to live thing. And when you see other people living a different way, it gives you perspective, you know what I mean? So take that for what it's worth, but that stuff is really important.
Now I'm going to push Will and get him out of the country because literally I went to my college that I went to because they had the best study abroad program, and that just changed the perspective.
It changed it, man.
Italy and Thailand. So Will, we're going to get you out of Texas and Tennessee, even if it's Canada or Mexico.
I'm in the grind phase of my life right now. I'll explore later.
We'll celebrate once. How about that?
Yeah, it's a balance. So Mo, with everything that's happened this year, obviously, yeah, we're in a very unique situation. You've been in the market for 17 years, so you've seen the 08 crash, you've seen the longest upcycle in U.S. history, you've seen asset values quadruple in multifamily as well as single. I mean, I hate to ask for such a broad question, but what do you think of the market right now?
Well, what do I think of the market as my 7-year-old comes screaming up the steps? can you guys hear that?
Barely.
But yeah, barely. Okay. It's not.
And that's what the market is doing to my house.
And well-being.
Yeah, and well-being. You know what? If you read, one of the best books I ever read was Money, Master the Game by Tony Robbins. It's a 700-page behemoth of a book, man. But the beautiful thing about it is he interviews like the top 25 people in financial history, at least from the last two generations. So Sir John Templeton, who started Templeton Funds, Ray Dalio, Warren Buffett, there's other people in there. And what we know now is that every 7 to 10 years there's a cycle downturn of some sort, right? Something is going to happen. It doesn't matter if it's a pandemic or a financial crisis or whatever. Something typically happens. What I love about the market, and Will, in answer to your question, is I'm the Sir Templeton story stuck with me. When there is blood in the streets, that's when you want to be prepared to execute on opportunities. And this may be the military police mentality, but when people are running that way, I tend to run that way. And that is exactly what's happening right now, where people are very nervous about buying assets, especially in the multifamily space, buying assets because there's a lot of pressure from lenders about escrows and things of that nature. You're having to come up with way more capital. On the contrary, Quattro Capital, my crew, we're pressing the gas on all this stuff because there is so much opportunity. The deal that we're doing right now in Atlanta, we're going in at, I think, like a 5.6 cap, 5.7 cap. And the rents where we found the property are about 150 below market. And once we infuse about 300 grand, we'll be able to add another 150 to 200 worth of rent to it, right? So considering cap rates and what have you, we might be able to push $3.5 million of equity into that property in 3 years. That is just phenomenal. So we are in a down cycle to an extent, but the economy's good in a weird way. Like the fundamentals are there. What is tough is what's happening to people. And that is a result of the people get nervous. COVID has really, really effed up a lot of people's lives, which is unfortunate. But you couple that with this political cycle, there's just so much uncertainty. And most people, when they see uncertainty, they freeze. And then there's other people who take the bull by the horns and they just grab it and they go out and get as much as they can. So that's kind of my thought on the market right now. And I do both things, by the way. I do the real estate side, which is important to me because it's me being proactive. And then I do the Warren Buffett method, which is index fund my butt off for the rest of my life. I expect that to be nine figures at some point when I'm in my 90s, and that'll be legacy money for my family. And then I'm doing this real estate stuff as a cherry on top. You just have to follow. If you just study the market, and that's why I read so many books, you understand that this happens every 7 to 10 years. I just wish in 08, when this happened to me and I got crushed, but I made it through, I understood the market dynamics of what was happening. So now when I saw this one, I was like, no problem. I know exactly what I'm going to do. All this cash that I've been stacking, it's going to go out and be deployed. I'm going to help my friends, family, and new colleagues use all these things I've learned to improve their lives and leverage the market. So, Will, I think there are weaker dynamics, but it's fundamentally there. And right now is a great opportunity to find bargains out there, which we're doing.
What about between different asset classes? Like you said, you're in mobile home parks, you're in multifamily. Is there any asset class that really sticks out to you, or do you see kind of the same between the different real estate markets?
Well, yeah, I mean, service industry asset class is jacked. I mean, I'm in five or six restaurants now still, where I'm a part owner. And of course they are all affected, but that's a very small piece of what I do. The mobile home parks, they are generally consistent. I think where they struggle is that most of the people who live there are usually on fixed income, which is good. Social Security, veterans benefits, things of that nature. But there are a lot of people who live in mobile home communities who piece together part-time jobs to pull in the enough rent, right? So you've seen some effect there. But in general, they're stable. Like I haven't had too many issues. On the apartment side, we've had slowdown in renting, but in general, no. It hasn't been totally affected. But what did affect one of my buildings in Atlanta was now this is part of our due diligence process. We'll do an occupational review of the entire tenant base to understand where they work, and we'll see percentage. Professional services industry, military, government, teachers. Like we want to understand that dynamic, because if people are hourly in a lot of cases, those are the first people to lose their jobs. So we do want to understand that. I did have one building that was kind of affected by that, and we've remedied the situation. But what is really interesting is this eviction moratorium. Like I, fortunately, fundamentally, Quattro Capital and me as an individual person, I had a lot of reserves where I could deal with things. I don't think a lot of operators did, which is why we're able to find bargains at the moment. But the notion that okay, we are going to put an eviction, a moratorium on all evictions, and the banks still got to collect the money, so all the pressure falls to property owners. That's going to break sooner rather than later. if this moratorium doesn't jump up, because the residents, many residents, some truly need the help, which I am 100% for, but the ones who are gaming the system, it's affecting a lot. And there are a lot of people who are gaming the system and not paying because they know they won't get evicted. That is one consideration. But, you know, in general, the real estate asset class is very good. And that one deal that we're doing in Atlanta now, in Q3 of this year, Atlanta had the strongest apartment demand in all of the United States per RealPage. So we'll be okay one way or the other.
I think too, across sectors, but I think more importantly, it's the location, right? Like, you're operating in the Southeast, Atlanta, Tennessee, which are phenomenal markets, and us seeing in the being in those markets, not Atlanta, but Tennessee, New York money is flooding into Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. Like, smaller assets have been bought by cash by New York investors. So yeah. I think too, it's and also too, it sounds like not a ton of multifamily in Maryland. So I think it's just important to know, and you kind of hit on it with the occupational risk, is you looking at the macro market, sub-market property, and just really understanding that niche, because that Nikolai Ray discusses how the cap rates for a market is, and then you kind of drill down and that's your true cap rate by taking all of that into consideration. So 100%. I think it's amazing kind of just to see where it's New York versus Tennessee. It's like we're 94 to 96% collected, not so much New York or California versus Texas.
They're dying, and all that affluence that was up there and all the waste. This is where the whole minimalist thing comes in. And this is just me. Look, and this is why I'm telling you, I don't compare myself to anyone else. I'm just saying in and of myself, like, I can afford a lot of things, but I still drive an 05 car. I just don't need all that stuff. If you go up to New York City, where I'm born, by the way, I was born in Queens, there is a lot of consumer affluence, right? Like, just showing what you got versus actually having a fundamentally sound financial and family lifestyle. It's cracking. All that stuff is cracking at the seams now in places like that. And a lot of those folks who overextended themselves and bought into the American consumerism lifestyle, where they're getting a new iPhone every single 3 months or something like that. And it is market dependent. The DC market were affected, not really. It has slowed just a bit. I do have some multifamily here. It is incredibly hard to get multifamily in the DC market, although I was able to get a couple of them. But here in DC lies the largest employer in the United States, which is the US federal government. So jobs here generally are okay. And it's a good example of why jobs are so important as a fundamental in multifamily, because jobs equal people's ability to pay rent. So in DC, we're okay. But down south is a much better market for sure, and it is market dependent.
Perfect. Well, Mo, it's been a pleasure having you on. I really enjoyed this. Truly inspirational. I don't say that a lot. I've learned a lot just from the minimalistic side, the useful technologies you use to kind of, as you're getting something you've done, you focus on building the machine along the way. And I think that's going to have a long-term impact on me, I think. So before we go and ask you our investor pro tip, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsors.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
And we're back. So Mo, I know we unpacked a lot of goodies on this episode, but what is your one investor pro tip?
My investor pro tip. When you say investor, you mean from our perspective as operators or an investor coming in? Either way?
The answer is yes.
Okay. All right. Listen, here's the investor pro tip. Know your why, because the moment I go back to that competition thing, the moment I started doing real estate for the sake of doing real estate, I made mistakes, totally made mistakes, and big ones. And when I pinned what I was doing in multifamily and going after all these, I don't want to say units, because I never even share the number of units I have. It's irrelevant. What is relevant is the amount of passive income that I generate for myself, my investors, and then how well I go live my life. So if you know your why as an investor, it just makes it easier to do the grind, right? And my why happens to be those five freedoms that we articulated, financial, time, geographic, freedom of purpose, and freedom of relationships. Like, I love doing those things, and real estate is a tool for me to get those things. That's why you will see me grind my butt off. It's because I'm doing it for a purpose. If you are doing it just for the money, fine, but I'm telling you, eventually you're going to fail. And it won't attract people to help you if it's just for money. So the pro tip is know your why.
I resonate with that just because with my background being in accounting, I got that job because it was safe. And then as I grew older and just seeing the trajectory of it, I was like, it's not the lifestyle I want to live for. And so even last year or so, my like core purpose is similar to yours in the sense of helping. I want to help 1 million people become investors. So whether it's their 100th syndication or they're at their home and they need to Airbnb a unit, it's just realizing that they can to help people, right? So even on those days where it's like, we just missed out on a deal or this happened, I just know that helping that many people is a big stepping stone. So just being able to do that. So
and you know, the funny thing, what you just said, so just so you know, I practice what I preach. Now I'm thinking about the, you know, the, like the 5 or 10 people last night who said, hey, this particular deal is not for me that you guys are working on. And knowing that you're trying to help that many investors, now I'm going to send you an email on the backside and say, hey, do you have any deals coming up? Do you think you can help these people out? You see where it's not like, no, these are my investors. I will never share them. It's so crazy what people do from a competition perspective. I would just rather create with you. So that's what I mean by that.
And I'm going to reply with all the books and the apps that I talked about on the podcast.
There you go, brother. That's
what I need, yeah. But
so Mo, if anyone had any questions and wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way to do so?
Thank you, bro. And this, I will take a 30-second soapbox. I am on Instagram. If I am a huge lifestyle design mindset person. So if you want to see lifestyle related stuff and how I leverage real estate to live my best life now, catch me on Instagram at Maurice Philogene. I'm on LinkedIn at Maurice Philogene as well. From a business, and I'm on Facebook as well, Maurice Philogene. From a business perspective, the website is called The Quattro Way, TTROWAY, quattroway.com. You can there. My story is written out, how I got the financial freedom in years, flipped to multifamily, traveled around the world, and why I'm so passionate about what I do. And then if you are interested in investing, just shoot the breeze with me. And listen, just reach out in general. I just love sharing with people, collaborating with people, giving you tips, learning from you, because I don't know everything at all. I am still learning myself. So please reach out one way or the other. Love to chat.
Thank you so much, Mo. I think it's a lot of powerful stuff. I'm definitely going to re-listen to this and recommend all of our listeners to go through it, not just for the systems, but knowing the why and having real estate be a tool for you, not the end all be all. So I think it's just super important to kind of realize all those things together.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for providing so much value. And there you have it, another episode of the Rand Siri Show. Please reach out to us at info@randsiri.com. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.